Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday, so we are talking about question and answers and going over some feedback and any sticking points as we're moving forward on this particular series. Now, if you've got questions that don't relate to this series or any of the other series during the rest of the week, still feel free to send those in. We're not going to Saturday's a free-for-all. We can change topics and answer questions. That's one of the things we want to really look at Saturday as this is where we do that. We want to continue the series on Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. But on Saturdays, if issues come up, this is going to be a long-term, for instance, we're developing this series now on setting goals in the supernatural. How do you do that, and on what basis do you do that? And within that, issues arise that need to be addressed, and questions come up. And so we want to take the time to address those questions as they come up. And if you've got questions on the other series that we do during the week, or any of the other materials, it can't even be if something is going on in the world and you'd like to know how dependent grace, which is the focus of this ministry, how that would look being applied to that particular situation. So feel free to get that back to me. You know, get in touch with me if you want to have that question addressed on air. Feel free to give me a call during the program at 718-664-6988. But in general, just to address a couple things that have come up, what we're doing is this ministry is not an evangelical ministry. Our goal is not to go out and bring in more people. The people that God want involved in any particular area, He has involved. He's not at all concerned about our involvement in any particular focus. He does that on an individual basis. We've had opportunities before to talk to several about what our goals are as Christians. What should we be focusing on? And of course, we know there's been that very popular strain of Christianity, the purpose-driven life. And we'll be addressing that in particular in another series. But anytime there's an implication of pressure, that's a red flag to me. And any time there's an intimation that you have to measure up, that the explanation for what you're struggling with is because you're not doing something else, that's a red flag for me. Because our behavior, what we do, will line up with who we are, not the other way around. So doing something different is never the solution to being challenged. Now, sometimes we are dealing with emotional issues because we're resisting making changes. But you don't just make changes in order to get rid of the emotional challenge. You go to God. Okay, our answer will always be the same. What does God say about this? Now, in saying that, so many have had the, you know, almost shocking response of, what do you mean, go to God? And we are reminded that Christianity is different from all other religions because our God is alive and well on planet Earth. He is a person. He is so big that he can speak to each one of us, whatever our issues or challenges or needs are, or just to have breakfast with him. And as a spirit being, if you have been born again, if you have accepted what Jesus did for you on the cross 2,000 years ago, and then through the resurrection giving you new life, you are a new creature. You are a spirit being now. And spiritually speaking, you communicate with him. You commune with God all the time, 24/7, perfectly. In your spirit, you know him perfectly. You are known of him perfectly. As far as he's concerned, as far as God's concerned, his work in your spirit is done. You will never change spiritually. You are perfect and complete spiritually. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, and you have been reborn of him. So hopefully God intended that for that to relieve us of the need for meeting some standards. Whether we establish those standards for ourselves, whether they're established by our family, our society, or by religion, an organized religion, Christianity or charismatic or Pentecostal or Catholic or any aspect of an organized religion denomination that uses the term Christian or has Jesus as part of their faith. For us to think that there is anything that we need to do spiritually that can affect our relationship with God is, because it's already been done, we will never get anywhere. We use the example of paying on a debt that's already been paid. If you pay off your car, but you continue to send the money, they'll keep it. Now, in reality, they might not, but you know, we work with the devil. Okay, you do have enemies out there, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this is one of the ways that we keep from living in victory, in freedom, in rest, in true relaxation, because we keep trying to pay off a debt that no longer exists. So it will be endless. And it's not because the debt is endless, it's because you're paying on a debt that no longer exists to someone that you never owed the debt to begin with. You're being deceived. God does not want you to be deceived. And he is working to relieve you of that feeling that you have debt, that you owe something to God, that you owe something to anyone. And so to do that, though, our problem is we are surrounded by those who also believe they owe God something for salvation. Odds are we belong to a group of people we're fellowshipping with, even if it's just a home group or on the internet or whatever, that their existence is bound up in keeping you doing something. If they're not necessary, they're out of business. And we'll go into that, the whole aspect of ministry, how it works and how it was meant to work in one of our regular series. But think in terms of whatever group, in fact, let's just run through that. Whatever group you're involved in now, even if it's just a bunch of your friends, anything that's organized, what if all of a sudden all of your problems were met? Whatever you're going to that group for, say you're going to that group just for fellowship, just to, because you have a need for encouragement once in a while. Everything else is going fine, but you need fellowship once in a while. What if you found out from God that that need for fellowship has already been met, and you didn't need them for fellowship anymore? Not how would that change you, but how would that change the group? What if everybody, all of a sudden, whatever their needs were, let's say there's 10 people in your home group. What if all 10 of those people found their needs were met? All of a sudden they were perfected. There would no longer be a need for that group to meet. I always think of in the old times of, you know, when Paul was roaming from city to city, he never addressed his letters to the church that meets at the corner of 3rd and Main, or the first church of Ephesus, implying that there was a second church of Ephesus. He addressed it to those Christians who live in the geographical area of Galatia. It was never a recognition that a particular group was grouped around more than geography. Now, did that church of Ephesus and church at Galatia come together? Yes, absolutely. And I suspect it's going to be a long time for us to be able to experience all our needs being met, and that we will continue to meet until that happens. But the point is, in the meantime, that group, it's not their job to meet your needs. And if you need to change your beliefs regarding that, that's a great point to start with in asking God. God, why do I turn to this group for encouragement before I turn to you? Or why do I think I need to turn to this group in addition to turning to you? And it may show us areas of fear of woundedness, of none of us wants to be the first one to bring up an issue. It's always easier to go along with the flow. And unfortunately, in many of the mainline or mainstream or main any kind of denomination, and a lot of non-denominational organizations are just as denominational as those that have a name over the front door. But what we find is that when we challenge certain beliefs, when we rock the boat, the reaction we get is not related to the question. It's related to the challenge. And what we've done is we've put our finger on a belief that needs to change. What do we do in a situation like that? We always, Lord, do you want me to continue attending this group? As a spirit being, as one with Him, you are not your own. Your decision maker is in your soul. Okay, it's your will. Your will is making decisions based on what it knows and what it feels. And those are also aspects of your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. So very often, your will, you are making decisions based on inadequate information. This is why Paul referred to it as the idolatry of the will, is because we have elevated our chooser to the point where it's become the prominent and central focal point for measuring how we're doing. Now, to work that belief out of our way of living, we have to go through the process of making choices. Because it is through, think of your mind, your will, and emotions as three gears, or three mixers when you're making like a cake or something. And they all mesh together, they all work together, and they blend all the information they get. But in the process of that, what was once at the bottom comes to the top. And so those gears working together, you see where they don't mesh, and you see where there's grinding, and you see how they don't, unless there's information that's put into them, they will work. Those gears, those blenders, those mixers will work on whatever is put into it. They will work independently of whether there's good information being put in. Most of you have probably heard the phrase, garbage in, garbage out. Well, that's pretty much what we're dealing with. But most of us don't know that what we believe is garbage. And so we make decisions based on garbage, and then we get garbage. But if we don't go through that process, if instead we just hide back in a corner and never get involved in anything, never do anything, never put our hand to a task and ask God, what's going on here? We aren't then actively participating in the change He wants to bring us. Because you are a spirit being, He is now able to provide accurate information. and it cleans those gears, and it brings the gears into perfect alignment with one another and with the source of information, so that what is blended, what comes out, is truth and accurate and life. So we don't draw back from the situations we're in. In other words, we don't just stop going to a group or stop fellowship or quit our job or drop out of a relationship because it's causing our gears to grind. Instead, we go to God. You will never be able to clean up your gears yourself. Only God can do that. Our job is to hang in there, to show up for class, to do the homework. And it starts with being willing to change your beliefs. Now, some of these beliefs, you know that you know that you know. But what are you knowing with? What is that knowing? That knowing is going on in your mind. Now, your mind is in the process of being cleansed, no doubt. But while those beliefs were being developed, that you know that you know that you know now, your mind was darkened. Your mind likely did not have access to that clean water of living life, truth, reality. Even if you were a Christian, if you were just being taught, okay, this is what you are to believe, here's the topic, this is what you believe, here's what sin is, here's what salvation is, here's what your behavior is supposed to be now, this is how you please God, this is what worship is, this is what the tithe is, this is where you put your money if you want to be blessed of God, this is where you go when you die, this is what you do until you get there. And there can be so much there, and I'm not sure if you've ever noticed, but there's a cycle of topics that goes through any particular church. And it can be on a basis of a few months, but it can also be on a basis of a few years. Now, I live in an area where there's a lot of growth going on. Homes are going up all over the place. And new churches are coming into the area. And to compete with that, a lot of the churches that have been here for a real long time are upgrading. They're either leaving their location and building a brand new, bigger church next door, down the block, or in the same area, but much bigger, or they're putting a second story on what they've already got, or in some way increasing their size. Well, I heard a statistic on how through that process, once the new building is moved into, between 2 and 5 years, the pastor that was there during the building is gone. Either because that pastor left or the pastor was asked to leave. And I was thinking about that. Because what happens is, during a growth process, we focus on the growth, the new building, building something tangible. But once it's accomplished, it's hard to get people motivated about something that's intangible. So there's often a focus thrown in on something tangible, whether it's supporting a missionary in Africa or inner city ministry or raising X number of dollars or having a garage sale, or every quarter or so it seems like there's a focus on these larger churches on doing something tangible. Well, what does that do? That gives us a way of judging how we're doing. Wow, we beat last year's record. Or attendance this week was 100 more than last week. And then we go, okay, whatever I did last week, I need to just keep doing it. And it keeps our focus on the natural realm and the supernatural realm. And it keeps us busy. It's basically busy work. So, having said all that, the purpose of that was just basically the place you'll really need to start, and the one of the main purposes of the exercise we're doing now is to become aware of your beliefs and how those beliefs have affected the decisions you've made. So as we move forward, the goals you set going forward will be free from those beliefs. That's one of the reasons we look back. We're not trying to dredge up our past feelings or past anything. Instead, what we're realizing is that if we don't deal with our past, we can't have victory over our present, and we can't properly prepare for our future. If you've got bodies buried in your backyard, you need to dig them out and get rid of them before you start to rebuild. So last week, your homework assignment was to take those three that you've narrowed it down to, and thinking in terms of your past, present, and future, list who was involved. And we use the example of if you've got a grudge against your father, I'm going to use the example of, say, your parents were divorced when you were very young. Obviously, your mom and dad would both be on that list. And then maybe your siblings. And then you look at how it affected you growing up. Maybe you had a good friend that had an intact family, and they had great Christmas gatherings. But you had to either spend your holiday with one person or one parent or the other, and it always got to be a real mess. So maybe you even have a grudge against those who didn't have divorced parents. Anyway, everything listed all down. Now what I want you to go through now and make sure on each one of those that you have included yourself and God and also your enemies. So last week you've made a list, and say you've got 10 people. You might have 5, you might have 50. Add yourself, if you haven't already, and add God. And then also add your enemies, your legitimate enemies, your flesh. This is part of yourself, but we'll tweak that when we get to it. The world, you know, oh, I hate, you know, the world we live in. You know, I hate that this is not fair. When we start saying things aren't fair, we are recognizing the world system. And then put down the devil. Because whether you believe him or not, whether you believed that there was a devil out to get you or not, he was. So we will want to counter his effects in your life. So then I just want you to go through and take time with each one of these lists separately again and just mark, indicate somehow which one of these is rising to the surface the highest. In other words, there might be, out of a list of 50, there might be 4 or 5 that you think about when you first start to think about this exercise. Their names, their faces, their involvement jumps to your mind. And let's just pick 5 for now and just put a little star by their name. And we're going to start there. We may end up going through every single person on that list, but for now, just start there. And when you go to that person, say it was your dad or your mom or your teacher or your nanny, your neighbor. When you think of them and you've put that little star next to their name, I want you to, on the other side of their name, write down what you are feeling. When your eyes were dropping down that list of names and you got to your grandmother's name, what was it that made you stop? Was it anger? Was it guilt? Was it pity? Put a little star next to her name and write down the emotions, the feelings that you're experiencing. So this may take a while. You may end up going through every single name, and that's fine. And I will tell you, this is an exercise that we are going to do once. Okay, the reason we are going to go into the past is because so much of us, so many of us, have never dealt with our past at all. So we're sort of going to catch up, and we're going to get it taken care of, because our goal is that we're going to go into the future having dealt with our past. And we're going to set goals based on being free from our past. So we will see how our goals for ourselves are so intertwined with our beliefs that were based on our experiences with people and their actions. And what has happened is because of, especially when we were younger, we developed our mindset based on feeling vulnerable, out of control, not able to affect or protect ourselves or affect our environment. And so we come into the present thinking of ourselves as victims. And this is what we're dealing with, is you are not a victim. You are a son of God. And you have already overcome everything we're dealing with in the spirit. We are making it real in the soul. So that's a big assignment for you. Go through each one of those three. Make a separate time for each one of them. And if you end up, you know, adding to it as you go along, fine. If you think about, okay, well, then once you start thinking about your grandmother, you have to add your uncles and aunts. And it doesn't have to be individual. You know, you can put in groups. But the whole point being, okay, disappointment, you know, whatever, that they didn't, you know, step in, that, or that they meddled so much that it kept you from being who you wanted to be or whatever. You put it down. You write down, and if there's nothing more that you can say than muddled or confused, you know, when I think about this person, the name or the face keeps on jumping to the top of the list, but I don't know why. You can just write that down. Don't know why. Okay? The point being is that when we get to the next phase, we'll want to have a hook to start with. Because we're going to work through each one of these. Again, it's a one-time thing. Now, over time, other things may come up that maybe we didn't deal with. But the point being is that we'll know that there's, you know, we've already dug up all the bodies that we know about. So we'll get rid of 90%. There still may be some back there, but that God isn't ready for us to deal with yet. So we're going to go on his timetable and according to his pattern, his approach, because we know that he wants your property clean with no dead things buried in it. Because the house you live in is the house he lives in. Your soul is becoming more and more available to him. And he's not going to let us have any areas in our lives that he can't go. And you've already agreed to this. So just go along with him. It's work. And it's can be hard at times. But it will be worth it. Because the changes that you will experience from one time going through your past, again, we're not going to keep rehashing any particular experience or something, this is attributable to that, to your mom saying something in front of your friends. This is why your whole life is ruined. Well, no, she did something stupid. She developed, but you developed a flesh pattern and a belief pattern, and that's what we need to deal with. So we are not going to look for people to blame. And we are not going to blame ourselves. But you are not a victim. You are a victor. And you're going to need to start to learn to live according to your true identity. So look forward to hearing from you and keep those cards and letters coming. And hopefully this will give you plenty to do for the next week. We'll be getting back together again on Monday at 6:30 to talk about practical Christianity. Until then, have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.